Today on Real Radio.
Nicodemus got up that morning and looked in the mirror and he saw a believer. But later that night, Jesus gave him the honest response. He looked into the face of Almighty God in human skin, and the reflection back was, you need to be born again. Think of it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know, a series of lessons on the essentials of our faith. In fact, we're in a mini-series called You Need to Know all about being born again. Jesus himself said to a teacher of the Jews that one must be born again, or born from above, if you will, in order to see or understand the kingdom of God. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more of You Need to Know all about being born again.
In nature, God is showing you, if you just slow down and get your face out of your phone or out of your TV and look what's going on, this is happening all the time. And he's telling Nicodemus, a metamorphosis has to happen in your life. You've got to be changed. And notice, the change happens from the inside out. Always from the inside out. So here we go. Mark this down if you would. The Bible tells us, first of all, that what you and I need to know about being born again is how you are born again. And the first thing is that you and I would need to be honest. Will you write that down? There's no escaping it. You got to be honest. Honest with yourself. Remember this. Nicodemus comes and he speaks to Jesus. This is a divine appointment, as I said earlier. But he came. And you got to be honest, like Nicodemus is being honest. You got to wonder what's going on in his mind. Why did he come? What challenge is going on in his life that he would come? And so we'll give credence to the scenario. It's dark. He comes alone. Jesus is alone. He speaks deep things with Jesus. He engages with Jesus. I'm going to suggest to you this morning that the first step in you being born again and going to heaven is facing this challenge. You've got to be honest with yourself. You've got to realize what Nicodemus is realizing. And this is a big deal, people, because I want to remind you of this. Number one, he's a Jew, which means he has access to all of the traditions of his ancient fathers. He's now holding that, in a way, suspect, meaning I've got the tradition of my fathers in my hand. I'm a Jew. I'm part of God's chosen people. And yet, what's he saying by being honest really with himself? He's come because why? Because there's something lacking in his life. If the traditions of his fathers fulfilled him, he wouldn't be coming to Jesus by night. Number two, being of the religious order, being of the status that he was, he had access to all of the scriptures. He knew them. To be a Pharisee, he would have known the Bible better than you and I. So why didn't that fulfill him? You know, you can be a theologian right now and be absolutely 18 inches away from heaven. You may have it in your head, but you don't have it in your heart. You can be a very religious person and miss heaven altogether because you never went from belief to faith. That's the key. So he must be sensing a bit of lacking in his life. Number three, he would have been a man of great financial wealth. His position allowed that for him. Very well taken care of. And yet he's not fulfilled. You know, you think of Steve Jobs, who, isn't it amazing? He's in eternity right now, Steve Jobs. What would he give? Bill Gates. Do you think if Bill Gates right now wrote a check, if he came in here right now, honestly, I mean this, if he came in here and said, Pastor, I want to write a check right now for $50 billion. For what? Well, you know, I just want to write it. I don't know, maybe it'd make me feel better about heaven. Do you understand that if I am a wolf, I would take his check? You say, how would that make you a wolf? It'd make the church very wealthy. Well, that's dangerous. But you know what? If I took his money I would be actually feeding his form of trying to get to heaven. I would actually, in a way, be sealing his fate, as it were, if you think about it. I would have to say to Mr. Gates, Mr. Gates, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. Your money is worthless in the economy of heaven. That's what I'd have to tell him. That's what you would tell him. The next thing is this. Fourthly, powerful. Nicodemus is powerful, and yet he's displaying to Jesus a sense of lacking. It wasn't his power. And number five regarding this, it's not his fame. He was a man of his position, would have been much sought after. Nicodemus, what do you think about this? Nicodemus, what do you think about that? Nicodemus, we need you to speak here. Nicodemus, write that thing, do the other. It's not that. And he's there. You know, Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, Mark 8, 36, Jesus said, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" Man, think of that. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, that verse may or may not mean much to you right now, but I guarantee you, as you get older, if you're granted the mercy to be on your deathbed, to say goodbye to your family, to have second thoughts, third thoughts, fourth thoughts, let me tell you something right now by experience. No one has ever yet told me, "Pastor, I just wish I would have made more money in my day." Never heard it yet. I've never had one person say, "If I would have just bought more homes." Not yet. Never heard anybody say, "Man, if I just would have bought the new vet, I would have been set." Do you know what people say? "Pastor, tell me about heaven. Tell me about Jesus again. I wish I would have had more time with my wife, with my husband, with my kids. I wish I would have had time with my grandkids. I wish..." That's none of them say, "I wish, oh, Pastor, I just wish all the time I wasted when I could have been tweeting." Not going to happen. All the junk of the world blows away in that moment of profound reality. You're going to meet your maker. You're going to enter eternity. Time's up. And it's going to come down to this. Are you born again? Jesus is saying you can't give anything to redeem your soul. And I call that a crisis. And I thought about that for a moment. And this week, putting my notes together, studying for this, that's a crisis. Nicodemus is in a crisis. And you know what, my friend? Listen, all crises are not bad. In fact, listen, Nicodemus is in a crisis. And if I'm faithful to my notes and I get to the end of my notes, I'm going to show you how his crisis led him to a good place. A crisis. By the way, this may be a crisis. You're hearing the gospel, and for you to get saved, you've got to be honest with you. You've got to look in the mirror, like James tells us about, and identify who you are. I don't have to identify you. Your mom doesn't have to identify you. You've got to look in the mirror, and here's how busy we are. We look in the mirror. We look to see, is there any bats in the cave? Is there any crumbs on my face? And off I go. No, we're supposed to stop and look, and we should look in the mirror and say, "Who am I? What am I living for? What is the foundation of my belief system?" You say, "Oh, Pastor, there's where I get you. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in anything." You have a belief system. "Oh, Pastor, I'm none of those. I'm an agnostic." You have a belief system. Every human being has a belief system. All of us believe in something or someone. You're not escaping that. The question is, how do you define it? What is your belief system? Which leads you, by the way, to how you live your life. You will live your life based upon your belief system. Thirdly, that belief system as to how you live your life, that's how you make your decisions. Why you vote, how you vote, why you read what you read, where you go, how you treat other people, how you are toward your kids or to your parents, to your wife or to your husband, is all based on your belief system. And we've all got one. So I want to ask you this question. Honestly, when Nicodemus looked in the mirror, listen, it's going to sound like a trick question. It's not a trick question. Are you with me? When Nicodemus looked in the mirror in his day, did he look in the mirror and see a believer? The answer is yes, he did. He saw a believer. Do you believe in Chuck Darwin? You're a believer. Do you believe in the tooth fairy? You're a believer. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? You're a believer. Nicodemus got up that morning and looked in the mirror and he saw a believer. But later that night, Jesus gave him the honest response. He looked into the face of Almighty God in human skin. And the reflection back was, you need to be born again. Think of it. Nicodemus might have gotten up, look, he might have gotten up, looked in the mirror, looked at himself. I'm Nicodemus. I'm one of the most powerful men in all of Israel and certainly in Judaism. And I'm the guy. And he walks away. And as the day wore on, wouldn't you love to have been a little bird sitting on his shoulder and you're listening? What kind of day did he have that day that led him to come to Jesus by night? What kind of thoughts were in his mind? Nicodemus, oh, it's an honor to meet you. Oh, Nicodemus, oh, we've heard so many great things about you. And as he turns his eyes to himself and he begins to honestly judge his own life, he sees a hollowed out man of religiosity, empty of anything that's of eternal worth. Something led him to Jesus by night. And there's a sense of crisis. I believe there's a sense of dread. Think about it. Think about your own crisis when you came to Christ, when you were being awakened to the reality of Jesus. Don't you remember the sense of crisis and dread this way? Oh my gosh, I am a sinner. Do you remember that moment? Remember how sick you felt? I remember having an adrenaline rush that went up the core of my gut. How is it that you turn the light on? The light is being turned on, and I'm immediately overwhelmingly sense regarding the crisis, I'm condemned. I didn't walk into that building feeling condemned. In the moment, just moments before my new birth in Christ, being born again, I felt totally in dread. I felt condemned. And then as I listened to that message of hope, what happened next for me? All of the things that I was trusting in left me hopeless. And then it brought me to this point of facing my depravity. I had gone into that building not knowing it was a church. I was planning on sinning. I had an appointment for sin. And I sat there and God reminded me, you're heading right straight down the path of death. I was overwhelmed by depravity, which then led to this. I was convinced that what was being spoken was true. That's a divine thing. Because I don't believe a man has the power to convince another man. I believe God does that. I was convinced that the truth was coming out of that hippie's mouth. Greg Laurie was a hippie at the time. The next thing, I was convicted of my personal sin. I was in a crisis of my soul. I didn't know what to do. I was sweating. I remember my palms were sweating. Convicted, condemned. I was in a crisis. And then the opportunity was given to make confession. To make a confession of Christ. All those things were true, yes. But all of a sudden, the presence of God, the reality of God, the sense of it all, listen, the sense of it all, I was changed in an instant. Did I feel anything? No, except I felt like I was condemned. And then there was a buoyancy of hope. God loves me. God wants me. And there's a change. Now, the change in my life is still in effect, as it is in yours. Which leads me to this crisis. I'm in a crisis right now. I'd like to confess to you what my crisis is. And I actually hope it's your crisis too. Boy, it got really... All of you just held your breath here for a second. I'm in a crisis right now because, look, it's just... don't tell anybody, it's kind of personal, but... This morning, I was on my knees saying, God, show me what is the next chapter for my life. What do you want me to do for you? I don't want to miss what you have for me. What do you want? Just say it. And Lord, I said this, Lord, just say it and I'll do it. And Lord, if I push you on it and if I refuse you on it, don't listen to me. If I don't want to do it, make me do it. But I don't want to live and die having not done what you engineered for my life, because I know that's the that's the place to end. That's the sweet spot to land. So don't let me sway myself, God. That's a crisis. It's my prayer that this church, your life, my life, be in a holy crisis. Oh God, how can these things be? For those of you who are not Christians, I pray that you're saying, how can this be? For those of us who are Christians, we need to be saying, Lord, how can this be? When God says, I want to use you. I want to change the world through your life. Listen, you can say, Lord, how can this be? But whatever he tells you to do, do it. Let's be in a crisis. The hour of crisis is upon us. I don't think we have to wait for it to come. I think it's now. It's an awesome moment. Hey, can I read you real quick, Philippians chapter 3? Reminds me of an ISIS guy. I mean, I don't know any ISIS people personally. Don't really care to know. But I'm going to read you something that in his day, he was like ISIS. He hated Christians, hunting them down, beating them up, having them in, caged, arrested. What else did he do? Persecute them, killed them, or had them killed. We know for sure already that he's already chalked up one death by the name of Stephen. In Philippians 3, verse 4, Paul now speaks about his converted life. He says in verse 4, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. So all you legalistic people, listen up, because Paul outdoes you in his sleep. He was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel from the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. Listen to what he says, verse 7. But what things were gained to me? These I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and count them as manure. It's dung. You know what dung is? Dung is what you put on your yard in the springtime. You get dung from cows. Paul is saying all of my achievements in this life turns out to be potty, manure, bandini, compared to what God does for your life. All of his degrees, all of his zeal, all of his achievements, Paul says it's nothing. He's in a crisis. Maybe you're in a crisis today. And the worst thing about us coming before the Lord and being honest is our pride. It's our pride that keeps us from coming to Christ. Did you know that? It's our pride. It's a terrible thing. The next thing that we look at is, how can you be born again? Is that you'd have to be willing. You not only come honestly looking at yourself, agreeing that you need to be saved from your sins because you've violated the Ten Commandments of God. You've had these thoughts, if not deeds, in your life, and you know that you're guilty, so you're honest. What's the next step, Pastor? You've got to be willing. Look, you can be standing here very, very much aware and facing all of your life's sins. Now watch this, people, watch this. You can right now be under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't handle this right, you can destroy yourself. Why? Because you can somehow be convinced, and this is a type of pride. Oh man, you're right, I'm such a sinner. I'm such a horrible sinner that God can't forgive me. Now that is also a bizarre manifestation of pride. Who do you think you are anyway? I'm the worst sinner there ever was. In fact, I am the worst. Are you going to write a book about it? I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. And when you face that, the next step is you've got to be willing then to come to Christ. Nicodemus, who he knew what Jesus' message was about. Jesus was preaching the gospel. Do you understand what this man is risking? A Pharisee comes to Christ at night to come to Jesus. He could be viewed as someone who agrees with the message of Jesus, which was what? Repent and believe, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Wow, there's a lot at risk here, but he was willing to come. And so what does it mean to be willing? In verse 9 it says that Nicodemus asked the question, how? How? Well, to be willing, you'd have to have a willingness to see your need for change. What would prevent that from happening, friends, is your pride. Do you remember the rich young ruler? He came to Jesus. This is awesome. Remember the guy? The rich young ruler. I mean, this is everybody's goal, is to be rich, to have authority, and to be young. In the 80s, it would have been a dot-com guy. A yuppie. Hey, man, how's it going? Great. I'm 22. I got a Ferrari. Have $10 million in the bank. And I run I'm a CEO of a company. Yeah? How's it going? Really? Well, if I look in the mirror, honestly, I'm just kind of trying to stay real busy, trying to move on to the next big deal to give myself self-worth. I got the money to buy the latest, greatest clothes and cars, so I do that because it makes me feel better. But if I look in the mirror honestly, I've got to be very, very honest and be willing to confess to you, there's still something lacking in my life. And this man comes to Jesus, and what's his question to Jesus? Good master, what must I do to be saved? Isn't that interesting? He's young, he's rich, he's got authority. And like Nicodemus, he has this in common. I'm empty. I got a nice car, nice house, nice girl, nice bank, but I'm empty. What must I do to be saved? Great question. You'd have to be willing also to have this, a willingness to approach God. Nicodemus comes to God. We also know this regarding approaching, is that he, though he mentions generalities, right? We know you've come from God, for no man can do the miracles, the signs you do, unless God is with them. Jesus, watch everybody, Jesus goes right for the throat, spiritually speaking, and grabs Nicodemus and says, unless you're born again, you'll not see the kingdom of heaven. And at that, Nicodemus could have gotten up and walked out. He could have said, Jesus, get out of my face. He could have said, I'm out of here. You know what? He had a willingness to approach God. And you and I will need that willingness to be born again.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About Being Born Again. It's actually a mini-series taken from Pastor Jack's collection of studies on the essentials of our faith. It's a series called You Need to Know. We'll continue with more of You Need to Know All About Being Born Again on the next edition of Real Radio. By the way, this series of messages is available for you on a set of DVDs. It goes by the same title, You Need to Know All About Being Born Again. It's such an important topic because it's all about whether or not a person understands the gospel, understands the sin problem, the need for divine redemption, and so on. And of course, one's need to receive salvation. Now, here's our offer. For your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send it right out to you. It's that easy. I'll say it again. We'll send you this series, You Need to Know All About Being Born Again by Pastor Jack, in a multi-DVD set for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name. You Need to Know All About Being Born Again, or simply All About Being Born Again. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. If you'd like to order by phone, that's easy, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd prefer to write to us and ask for the DVD set by name, All About Being Born Again, just send your gift and request to our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be found very easily at the web, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.